All right, let's go ahead and open up to Ephesians. Last time we finished up, we kind of did some overviewing of the whole book and the passage we're in now, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. The last week we began to look at this verse by verse. And we looked at every phrase, definitely every phrase, almost every word in Ephesians 1, verse 3. And so I thought we'd begin with that and just at least wrap our mind as kind of a review of what this verse is. This verse can completely revolutionize and change your thinking and your whole life if you let it. And you'll see what I mean as we go through this. Blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praised, eulogized, speak well of the Lord, the God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak well of him. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, we went through that phrase by phrase. I'm not going to do that again. But I do want to just point out as we lay the groundwork for going into verse 4, the importance of this verse. This is, if you consider verses 1 and 2, introduction. And that doesn't make them any less important than any other verses. But if those are introduction, and this is really then the beginning, the opening to the book as a whole. And this is what he wants you to know. So if you don't know this, you just need to stop and go back over this again before you go on to everything else. Because he's laying the groundwork here. And I'm going to do this in my corollary method. Maybe it's my science and math background, I don't know. But I'm going to set it up this way. We're going to take everything he says in this verse, which is not really that long of a verse, but it's chock full of information. Especially, we're going to look at that last half. This corollary method, it's either going to make you modify, and you'll either want to modify this and belittle it, trivialize it. We saw that last week. Most commentators want to take that spiritual concept, trivialize it to just be blessings from the Spirit. But the context of the heavenly realm doesn't allow that. These are spiritual blessings in contrast to physical blessings. So this verse, you're either going to hate it and want to modify it and trivialize it so you can throw it away, or we can let it totally revolutionize our thinking. And what it's going to say is totally contrary to most of what historic Christianity has said and is saying today. So let's just look using this corollary method. Here's the things. We went through this word by word basically last week, but I'm just going to bring out the corollary. If God's blessings are spiritual and heavenly, the corollary of this is that they're not physical and earthly. Now, most of historic Christianity says focus on the earthly and the physical. God's going to begin the book of Romans says, no, I'm giving spiritual heavenly blessings. The corollary being, again, that he's not giving physical and earthly blessings. We have to deal with the whole what he's saying on one hand means something else. And you see, that will if you let that revolutionize your life, you won't spend all your time trying to get physical, earthly things in your prayer life. You'll be enjoying and participating and opening up the box of God's blessings that he's really giving today, those spiritual, heavenly blessings. Corollary 2, if God gave all the blessings he's given, look in verse 3, it says, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Well, what does that mean? What's the corollary of that? If he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings the minute we got saved, the minute he placed us into the body of Christ, well, what does that mean? That means there's no more blessings to get. He's given them all already. Now the key to the Christian life isn't spending your prayer life or whatever trying to get God to give you more blessings. Now the key to the Christian life is recognize he's given you all the blessings he's giving today. Now we just need to open the box and start enjoying them. Totally different. totally contrary to what historic Christianity says. Corollary three, if all these spiritual blessings come to those in Christ, well, who are the ones in Christ? It's believers. So all these spiritual heavenly blessings come to believers in Christ. So what's the corollary of that? Those outside Christ, unbelievers, are not receiving these blessings. If you're asking for a blessing that an unsaved person has, a big, nicer car on a bigger street with a better house and a bigger bank account and better health and better wealth and prosperity, and all, if you're asking for those, if you're asking in your prayer life for something an unbeliever has, it's not what God and Paul are talking about here. We've been blessed with all spiritual heavenly blessings right up front in Christ. And that's what he wants us to focus on. Everything else is just trying to get God to do what he's not doing. It's going to frustrate your Christian life. It's going to bring defeat into your Christian life. It's living in a fantasy land rather than living in reality. That's never good. Sometimes it's fun. I would like to read a good book every now and then. But if you stay in that good book and never come out, see, then that's bad. We should never let our fantasy, our mind life, regulated by what we want, regulate what God's actually doing today. We need to live in reality. We need to live according. And he introduces here, here's the things he's doing. This should regulate our prayer life, our Christian walk, how we engage with others. It should regulate everything. I'm giving today all the blessings there is to give. They're spiritual heavenly blessings, not physically or physical earthly blessings, and they're only in Christ. Those outside of Christ don't have these blessings. Only those in Christ, believers, have these blessings. In short, the mature Christian life, the life and walk, comes from Pauline grace, mystery, truth. The point is here, that's the box. Open it. What would happen? I remember once, now I did open the box, so this illustration only works so far. One time I got a project from my boss, and it was a science project, and he wanted to go back, restart this project. The guy who worked on it before me had left the company, was gone, but he still had run his experiments and did his work and did his background work. And the boss said, let me go see if I can find it. And he went back into the vault somewhere, and he comes back with a box, puts it on my desk, says, now there's everything you need to do what I'm asking you to do, right there in that box. And so he just, what did I have to do? Open it up and start taking it out and reading it and seeing what was done, what was given to me. Now, what would happen if he put the box there and I never opened it and went down to his office every hour or two, said, I need something else. I need more blessings. I need more things to work with. And he'd say, well, did you open the box? No. You see, that to ask and beg and plead and badger God for things that he's either already given us, like forgiveness of sins, to keep badgering him about that and begging and pleading for those things, or for physical and physical and earthly blessings rather than spiritual heavenly blessings, he's already given them all, and that's all he's given. And it would be just as ungrateful and inappropriate for me to keep badgering my boss about not giving me what I need when he's just given it to me. I just am refusing to open the box. Well, the box here is Pauline grace, mystery, truth. And when we open the box, not God's non-Pauline scriptures, God's scriptures having to do with his prophetic program for Israel, their physical and earthly blessings were the key thing because he was going to make of the nation of Israel the greatest nation on earth. He's not doing that with us. We don't need those things. He's given us other blessings, spiritual heavenly blessings. And now we find out he comes and in Paul's epistles, he put the box on our desk. He says, take the lid off and start enjoying blessings, learning about them, making use of them, accessing them. He's given us everything we need to accomplish what he wants us to do today in the dispensation of grace as in the mystery program for the body of Christ. When we praise him for what he's really doing today, who he really is and what he's really doing today, when we praise him and bless him for that, we're doing what we're going to be doing throughout all eternity. We're being the reflectors of his glory. The good news is when we open the box of Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, appreciate who and what God and what he's doing today and what he's giving today and how he's operating today, we can begin to praise and bless him and be the reflectors of his glory down here right now on earth. Begin to do what we're going to do up there for all eternity, we can begin doing down here right now. Up there, we're going to do it perfectly under optimum conditions. Down here, we have a chance, a privilege we're never going to get again, to serve him, to be reflectors of his glory under adverse circumstances. You're never going to, once you're in heaven, it's going to be under optimum circumstances. Here, it's under adverse circumstances. What a privilege. We have an opportunity for the 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 90, 100, whatever years we're believers down here on earth, to be his reflectors of his glory under adverse circumstances in a sin-cursed world, on enemy territory. On the other side of physical death, when we go to be with the Lord forevermore, whether through the rapture event or through death, physical death, we go there, we're going to be doing the same thing, except we're going to do it perfectly under optimum conditions. And he's given us everything we need to do that. We just need to open the box. And we need to not mix up. Now, what if my boss gave me two boxes because there's two projects? Maybe one project has to do with this totally different thing and one project has to do with the one I'm dealing with. What if I started mixing up the files? Disaster, right? See, that's what most of historic Christianity is taught to do with their scriptures. Mix up the files. And then everybody's so confused. They may be saved and going to heaven and will reflect God's glory forevermore there, but down here for their time on earth, they're not going to be reflectors of his glory or very limited reflectors of his glory because they're so confused. They're mixing up the files, taking things from Israel's prophetic program, bringing them into the mystery program, and everybody's so confused, they can't praise and glorify God for what he really is, who he really is, and what he's really doing today. And then they're not radiators, reflectors of his glory. So that's why this verse is very important. The corollaries are very important because I think they drive home both sides of the coin for each of these things. All right, that's going to lead us now into verse 4. So we have the only place these spiritual heavenly blessings from verse 3 are available is in Christ. He's going to explain, he's going to kind of answer the how. If he gave us all blessings in Christ, how did he do it? That's what he's going to answer in verse 4. Well, and the answer is going to be by placing us in the body of Christ, his chosen vessel of service for today, where we stand in a right position before him, holy. Remember, holy means set apart, blameless. Holy before him, set apart for his purpose. And why did he do it? That's verse 4. Why did he do it that way? Because in verse 5, he explains how he wants to bring us into his family as adult sons and daughters so that we can carry out the Father's business immediately. Be fully equal. You don't have to wait. That's the point of verse 3. You don't have to wait on God for one more blessing. He's given them all. If you're waiting on God for another blessing, either you don't understand what blessings God is giving today, or you haven't opened the box to see the blessings you have. Either way, it's detrimental. So there's a whole logic to these three verses. It's going to progressively go through. So let's read verse 4. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him. We got to keep that whole phrase, chosen in him, chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world in eternity past, that we should be holy, set apart ones. And this should ring a bell, because if you look back at verse 1, we've already seen the root word, I guess you could say, for this in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, to the set apart ones, to those who are now brought into a right relationship with God so that he can set them apart for his purpose, his plan. They were not set apart so that God can carry out our plan. We're set apart in Christ so that we can carry out God's plan. And without holy and without blame before him and love. So that's the verse we're going to look at today. God chose us in eternity past. And the idea here is he chose us that the vessel or the vehicle he would use in his mystery program for the body of Christ, what's chosen is the vehicle, the vessel. God chose us in eternity past that the vessel or vehicle he would use in his mystery program to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies would be the body of Christ. Now, what's the corollary of that? If that's the purpose, chose us to be in the body of Christ, to be in Christ, upei, remember we spent several weeks united, participants, identified, incorporated. We're united in Christ means we're united with Christ, identified with Christ, which makes us the participants of everything that belongs to Christ, belongs to us, that he accomplished through that crosswork. And that is because we're incorporated into his redeemed, righteous humanity. The new man, the new humanity. And there as that, he's placed us into Christ. He's placed us as members of his body in the body of Christ. Now, what's the corollary? We all got to start thinking about corollaries. This is one of the key things I've learned. When you have something that's plainly said, then what's the corollary? If he today chose us in Christ, which means we're placed into Christ as members of his body, as in the body of Christ, then what did he choose not to do? He chose us not to be participants in his chosen vessel, the nation of Israel. Two different vessels, two different vehicles. He chose in eternity past to place us in the body of Christ, not in the nation of Israel. Now, you know what historic Christianity says, right? Most of historic Christianity says we're Israel. One way or another, we've replaced Israel. We're new Israel. We're spiritual Israel. Oh, there's 100 other variations on that song. And they're all just nonsense. Paul is saying here, God chose us in eternity past, in Christ, in eternity past, and placed us as members of his made us members of his body as part of the group called the body of Christ. He didn't place us in believing Israel. Two different people, two different programs involved here. And he's talking about service, this whole set apart concept. He's not talking here about I chose an eternity past to save Sally, and I'm not going to save Bob, or I saved Ralph, and I'm not going to save Tom or Steve. That's not what he's talking about here. It's not chosen unto salvation. It's chosen unto service. And he chose as unto service is a receptacle, a vehicle, a vessel. I guess vessel is the best word because that's what Paul talks about in Romans 9, where he talks about God's chosen vessel, the nation of Israel, he cast away. Temporarily, but cast away. And Paul says in Romans 9, God took up another vessel, put it on the pottery wheel, and he's working with that now. That's the body of Christ. In eternity past, God chose two groups. He created and developed and came up with two groups. One called the believing Israel, nation of Israel, but especially the believing Israel. And the other one is the body of Christ. That's what's chosen in eternity past. He doesn't choose the individuals that go into the group. And I come up with three illustrations that I hope convey this. So I better keep going here. He's now filling the chosen group or vehicle with all those who believe in the dispensation of grace. In previous dispensations, God chose an eternity past that everyone that believed in those previous dispensations are going to be placed in his chosen group called Believing Israel. You're going to be part of that program. Paul's point is here, today in the dispensation of grace, God chose an eternity past that everyone who freely believes, he's not going to place them in Believing Israel. He's going to place them in the body of Christ. He has two chosen vessels. And he's chosen now to use the body of Christ to accomplish his purposes in his mystery program to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. Israel, the nation of Israel's purpose was to reestablish his glory on earth as a greatest nation that reigns over earth. That's not our job. That's not what we're going to be doing. We don't need the same provisions as them. We're doing something different, and we're going to get into this more and more as we go through Ephesians. So here we just say it generally. We're involved in his plan to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies, and that requires different provisions, different blessings, different plan, different program, different people. These members of the body of Christ participate in all the blessings that belong to Christ because of his work on the cross is what equips them for service. So when we read here that we should be holy and without blame, holy, set apart for his purposes, he placed us in Christ the moment we trusted and believed in the personal work of his son on the cross where he died for us. And as soon as we believe that, we're placed into the body of Christ where we participate in all the spiritual heavenly blessings God is giving today to fulfill his purposes and to equip us for service. That's what he's talking about in this verse. Holy, set apart for God's purpose in Christ as members of his body. It's only as members of his chosen vessel, the body of Christ, that we receive, participate in all those blessings he talked about in verse 3, so that we can carry out the Father's business, which he's going to explain in verse 5. And here we are in verse 4. He's explaining how we get the things we got, he mentioned in verse 3, and he's going to go in verse 5 to explain why he had to do it that way. And so we'll move on to that in coming weeks. This is the most common, this is what I'm going to try and show today, there's the most common everyday concept in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. So why are we so confused about it? Why does it cause so much confusion? Well, we're confused about it because we've been taught, oftentimes brainwashed, by a religious system that teaches contrary to God's word. And we've been taught it for so long, and it's so matter of fact, and everybody knows that's what it is, that when simplicity of the truth comes along, we don't even recognize it. We don't even understand it. We're totally confused. You see this also with water baptism. As soon as you say baptism, we've been taught by most of us, it's water baptism. So nobody cares about the spiritual baptism that Paul talks about. We've been brainwashed. As soon as you hear the word baptism, water, water, water. And there's this whole, that's not even applicable today. The baptism for today is the Spirit baptizing us into Christ. And you talk to people and they can't even understand it. Well, it's the same thing here with this choice. We've been taught by religious systems and theological systems, man-made religious systems, man-centered theological systems, about what they say this verse means. They've convoluted and deviated from God's word and come up with this other stuff. This is God chose Sally and not Bob and all this kind of stuff for salvation. It has nothing to do with that. Absolutely nothing to do with that whatsoever. And so what I'm going to try and bring out here is just show how what he's saying here is the most simplest, most common, everyday thing. Something you, everyone here, I'm pretty sure I can say 100%, everyone here did when they woke up in the morning while they were half asleep in bed, did what he's talking about God doing here. When I woke up this morning next to Cindy and we were half asleep, you know what we began to do? Well, we chose what cereal we wanted for breakfast. We chose what car we were going to take to church. Am I going to take her car? Well, I didn't fill up with gas this week. Well, my car's filled up with gas. Let's take my car. And we went through all this stuff and we chose out. We made a little plan for the day. That's all Paul's saying here in Romans. Now, of course, for God, it was an eternity past. For us, it was hours or days before. He's just talking about how God planned this. This is not a plan B. That God didn't come up with this because he somehow Israel failed, and now he's got to come up with this other program, plan B. Now, this has come up with, and he's showing how God developed this in eternity past. He's showing, and it's just the same thing we do every day, and I'm going to try to give some examples. Hopefully they convey what I'm trying to mention here. What is chosen or elected is the vehicle. And maybe I'm using vehicle. You'll see why by my next example. But probably the best biblical word, based on Romans 9, where Paul talks about this explicitly, would be vessel. Vessel of mercy, vessel of service. I'm using vehicle. You'll see why in a second. Vehicle, vessel, he picks the vehicle, the vessel. He doesn't pick the passengers. He picks the vehicle, who will ride in the vehicle. Christ is chosen. Christ is chosen, and all those in him are made members of his body. He chose to make us who believe in the dispensation of Christ members of his body, not members of believing Israel. This is a change in program. Peter and the 12, when they believed, they were placed into believing Israel. Today, with the raising up of Paul, when we believe, we're placed into the body of Christ. Two chosen vessels that he came up with in eternity past. And all those chosen are placed, all those who believe are placed now in that chosen group. His chosen place for us to be is to receive his blessings in that body of Christ, not believing Israel. Body of Christ. There's been a change in programs. The end of chapter 2 is going to explain this out point by point. So we got to wait till chapter 2 to get this fully. But that's what he's doing. He talks about the change in program, the change in vessels, the change in vehicles. And so I just thought I got to come up with some comments. So you understand. I got to come up with some, at least understand what I'm trying to say. Some common sense everyday examples of what he's talking about here. I remember years ago, I don't know, I was at a doctor's office or a dentist's office somewhere, you know, they got the magazines. Of course, the doctor and the dentist were late. So I needed to find something to do. And I think this might have been so long ago, this would have been before cell phones. It doesn't matter the details. But I pick up a magazine, Money or Fortune or something, and I'm leafing through it. And they had this little short article. I guess Uber was coming on the scene. And they had this little thing where kind of what you had to do if you wanted to be an Uber driver. And you know what? You had to plan all this stuff out. You had to kind of sign up with the company. They sent you a package, and you had to plan ahead for these things. You had to make all these choices. You had to choose some things. Before you ever started driving anyone around, before any passengers entered your car, your vehicle, you first had to make all these choices. You had to choose how many hours you were going to work. You had to choose what days you were going to work. You had to choose how far you wanted to go away from your home base. You had to make all these choices. You had to choose your rate, depending on the city or the area you lived in. You had to choose those things in the past before you ever started. Before any passengers ever entered your vehicle, you had to make all those choices. Now, you see the relationship. God here in this verse, now, of course, he's dealing in eternity past. We're just an Uber driver, might be dealing in weeks or months before, but it's the past. Before he ever loads up any passengers, he has to make all these choices. What this verse is saying is in eternity past, God made these choices. He chose what his vehicle is going to be, just like the Uber driver. He has to make a choice. Am I going to use my everyday, my own car? Am I going to get one of those stretch limos? Am I going to get a van where I can load some people in? Am I going to get a Ford Escape? What's going to be my vehicle? Well, that's what God did in eternity past. He chose what vehicle he's going to put his passengers in this dispensation of grace. and that's so he can load them up. Long before he took any passengers, he had to choose all these things, chose them in the past. He did not choose at the time the car, the vehicle he's going to drive the people around in, the service car, but he does not choose ahead of time the passengers. He doesn't know who's going to come, who's going to be a rider in his car. He doesn't choose who will and won't ride in his car. He chooses, but all who chose to ride with him by believing in his word, if we want to use biblical and relate it back to God, when they believe what the Uber driver, who the Uber driver is and what he says, and they go on the little app and type their name and address in, they're his passenger. He's going to go pick them up, and they load up, and he goes. Similar, this is a homely illustration, but I'm just trying to show it. This is the simplest thing in the world. The only reason it seems complicated is because theological systems have made it that way. God in eternity past wanted to start a business. It's the Father's business. We're going to read that in the next verse, that whole sonship concept. In eternity past, he wanted to start a business, and just like the Uber driver, he chose what vehicle he's going to use. He's not going to use his vessel, the nation of Israel. He's going to create a new vessel called the body of Christ. He's not going to use this business plan for the first 4,000 years of history. He's going to use this business plan after the raising up of Paul for the heavenly realm. He made all these choices in eternity past. And then you know what he did? He put the business plan in the drawer, locked it away, and he kept it a secret. And he carried out his prophetic program with the nation of Israel, a prophetic program to reestablish his glory on earth through his chosen vessel, the nation Israel. Then, with the raising up of Paul, he opened up heavenly drawer, took out the business plan for his mystery program for reestablish his glory in the heavenlies, brought it out, and revealed he has another group, another vessel, another vehicle, a chosen vessel, chosen in Christ, in that we're going to participate in, we're going to be placed into to carry out his business plan called the body of Christ. Calvinism and all its manifestations just make this, muddy this all up. It's just, those are just man-centered theological systems that take the focus off of what Paul's talking about here, praising God for who he is and what he's done, and places it on the praiseworthiness of some people. They try to wriggle out of this conclusion, but I've read a lot of books on this, even those who are Calvinistic, and they can't get out of this conclusion. They say they get out of it, but they don't really. If God selected me to be saved and not you, then he must have seen something in me that he didn't see in you. Too bad for you. See, that's just theological nonsense. It's just a bunch of big brains being paid big bucks to make it look like their theological system is in accord with God's word when it's really contrary to it. This passage has nothing to do with salvation. This passage has to do with service and how God's carrying out the service involved in at this point. In eternity past, he has had a business plan he came up with. And when he came up with that business plan, just like the Uber, he picked this, he chose that, he made this selection, made that selection, he elected this and he elected that, and then he put it in a drawer till he was ready to implement his business plan. And that was with the raising up of Paul. Let's look at a couple other. And again, I acknowledge these are very homely illustrations, but hopefully they're so homely they'll take some of the confusion out of this. I remember years ago, I must have been fairly bored one weekend or something, but there was a new cooking competition on the Food Network. Well, who could pass up that, right? And they went through the background. Well, the guy, the creator, you know, kind of tied this into God and Bible and stuff, the creator of that competition, He came up with this competition. He was in his 50s at the time that he was actually implementing it. He actually came up with this competition for a college course when he was in his 20s. So let's say 30 years have gone by. In our lifetime, that's practically eternity past. He came up with these things, and he came up with this cooking show, and he selected all this stuff. He chose the way he was going to do this. In the distant past, and you could relate that to God in eternity past. Of course, he's not from eternity, but God is. The creator of the competition came up with this plan years before it was actually implemented. Years before the creator, this was all designed beforehand. He came up with this all years before, in the distant past before. He just took it out of the drawer, and he's going to start implementing it. And he, in eternity past, in his distant past, this creator chose two groups to accomplish this competition. One of the groups would be he called the red team. The other group is called the blue team. And he chose those two groups in the distant past. He chose the group. He didn't choose who was going to be in the groups. He just chose the groups. That's his vehicle for service, his group for service. That's the that's the group that was going to carry out his business plan of service. The creator chose and determined in distant past that the first 50 applicants that came along would be placed into his red team. The next 50 applicants, he didn't know any of these people. He didn't know who they were, what... The next group of applicants, 50 applicants, he's going to place in the blue team. Now, what can you say about the applicants to relate it here? They must have read about this maybe in the paper. I don't know, and somewhere they read about this. They believed what this creator said and wanted to be a part of it, and they believed. And they came and applied, and he placed them in whatever group he was working with, the red team or the blue team. The first 50 people that came along who believed in the creator and wanted to be participant in his business, they put in the red team. The next 50, you put in the blue team. At the same time, he predestinated or predetermined. Remember, this is years before. He was in college. He's 50s, in his 50s now, years before when he came up with the plan. Now he's going to tell them what blessings they have. The red team would cook with meat. The blue team was going to cook with fish. And so there, it's a homely illustration, but I'm just trying to point out, this is the most, when you have a business plan, what Paul's talking about in verse 4 here is what we all do for the minute we wake up to implement our plan. And here you have God in eternity past. He came up with this business plan, and in eternity past, he chose us in Christ. He chose us, incorporated into Christ's new humanity as part of that new man in Christ, as members of his body, the body of Christ. He didn't place us in believing Israel to participate in their program. He placed us in the body of Christ. He predetermined, eternity past. Just like our cooking show creator, he came up with his scheme, his design in eternity past. You have to choose what things you're going to do. It's just the way a business plan works. And he decided what blessings. The red team's going to work with meat. The blue team's going to work with fish. Israel and her prophetic program had a special spiritual blessings that opened the way so God could give them physical blessings, the blessings of the law, and make them the greatest nation on earth. That's not the blessings for us today. The blessings for us today are the red team was meat, now it's fish. Our blessings are spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm because we have a different job. We're displaying his glory in the heavenlies. Different provision, different blessings, all determined, predetermined in eternity past, chosen eternity past, just like he's talking about here, and we'll see in the next verse as well. All right, So today in the dispensation of grace, what he's building up with here in the summary verses and the begin Ephesians 1, today in the dispensation of grace, God chose years before, in eternity past, he would carry out his plan for the universe by doing two groups. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 10. Ephesians 1, verse 10. And we'll see the two groups here, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So the whole created realm, the whole created universe is going to be gathered together under Christ. And he says here, together all in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. You have two realms of activity. So you need two programs with two peoples. Everything falls away. Now, he's always revealed how he's going to reestablish his glory on earth through the nation of Israel. That's been being revealed since Genesis 1 and all the way through. What he never revealed before, what he kept locked up, was his business plan for carrying out his purpose of reestablishing the heavenly realm. And you put those two things together, and the whole created realm will be brought under Christ and displayers of the glory of God, what it's supposed to do since since he created it in perfection at the very beginning. So you have these two spheres of activity. You know, you open up a watch or a clock, and you got those two, I guess it goes like this, two wheels, right? Two spheres of activity working in complete and perfect unity, and you close the lid and the whole universe, the whole clock, the whole universe keeps perfect time to the glory of God. Well, here we have what in Ephesians, we have the revelation of something he kept secret. And that's how he's going to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies. It's not a plan B. He didn't just come up with these things because Israel's failure took him by surprise, so he had to come up with something else real quick, spur of the moment. There's a thing, Paul's point here is he came up with this business plan in eternity past. And he chose how it was going to work. He predetermined how it was going to work. And now, in the dispensation of grace, it's the recruiting time. Everyone who believes God and his word are now can be placed in his vehicle of service, vessel of service, group of service, the body of Christ, where they then participate in all the spiritual blessings, all the blessings he's giving today, so they can function as adult sons and daughters in his carrying out his business plan. That's what all these verses, all what these verses are saying, there's been a change in programs. He's not working with Israel and her prophetic program to reestablish his glory on earth right now. He's recruiting during the dispensation of grace members to be placed into his body to be the displayers of his glory in the heavenlies. Two different business plans. And so all who believed first, I'm still going back. Maybe I should leave the cooking competition for now, but this still goes back to the cooking competition. All who believed first in time, the first 4,000 years of human history, and it's revealed in our Old Testament and the gospel accounts and the ministry of Peter and the 12, are placed into his chosen group, chosen vessel, chosen people, the believing nation of Israel, in accord with his prophetic program to reestablish his glory on earth as revealed in the non-Pauline scriptures. And those who came later in the dispensation of grace, all who believed, all who want to participate in that, are placed in his chosen group that he would use to reestablish his glory in the heavenly realm, his mystery program, and that's called the body of Christ. Two chosen vessels come up with, created, established in eternity past, and now he's brought out the body of Christ. This is what he's worried. This is the chosen vessel he's working with now. And all who believe in the during this dispensation of grace are not placed in Israel, his chosen vessel Israel. They're placed in his chosen vessel, the body of Christ. And that's what was predetermined. Having demonstrated, and we could go to Romans, we won't turn there, Romans 3:19 and 20 says it about as clearly as possible. having proved that no one can stand before him based on the law, God predetermined that this group would receive its adult sonship position with all its spiritual blessings right up front. And that's in verse 5. See, I'm trying to tie this into verse 5 as well. We go over to, there's only one thing we're waiting for in our sonship position, and let's see what that is. Go to Rome. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We'll only be in Romans a couple minutes, a couple seconds maybe even. Go to chapter 8. Romans 8. Where we're really going is verse 23, but I guess we got to start at verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and that's all believers. All believers are led by the Spirit. Now, you may decide not to follow him. You may decide to go off on your own. He says he's brought you into his family as adult sons and daughters, and you're being led by the Spirit. Now, you might veer off a little to the left or the right. You might not live according to your age. You might not assume the responsibilities he's given you as adults, but that doesn't change the fact the Spirit is leading. And he says here, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. And we've been over that adoption. That's just the Greek word there, a son place. It's when you bring someone into your family as adult sons and daughters, as adult children, not children in their minority, but as adult children, so that they can participate in your business. See, children in their minority can't participate in the father's business. They're down playing in the nursery. He wanted to bring us in. He decided in eternity past, he predetermined, Ephesians 1:5, in eternity past, he's going to bring us into his family as adults. So that we can, and then he's going to give us all the provisions we need so that we can right out of the gate start participating in the Father's business plan. Now go down to verse 23. There's only one thing left. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Well, wait, Paul, I thought you just said we had the adoption. Now you said we're waiting for the adoption. There's one thing, there's only one aspect of the adoption we haven't received yet. Everything else we have. What's the one thing we haven't received yet? The end of verse 24. The end of verse 23, the redemption of our body. The redemption, that's the resurrection. When we are given a body like unto his through physical resurrection, but given a spiritual body that allows us to carry out the Father's business in the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm. Go back to Ephesians. You see how our passage ends with saying something very similar. Ephesians 1:14. Here he's talking about the Spirit again, and he says in Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And that redemption, he talked about it in Romans 8:23, redemption of the body unto the praise of his glory. And so we're just waiting for that. That's the only thing. Everything else we have for our sonship position. There's no excuse for us not to begin participating and advancing and proclaiming the Father's business right now. We're just awaiting our resurrection. All right. So let's look at one more example. Maybe I beat this to death too much, but we'll close with this one final example here. This one I heard again, and I don't know really anything about history at all, and I certainly don't know specifically about the Marines. So I don't know the details. The details aren't important. It's the idea that counts. I heard this years ago, so I might not have all the details right, but I heard this example from a previous Grace pastor, and he compared this verse to the Marines. And the United States created a vessel, a vehicle, a group called the Marines. They decided one day they needed a special service that could accomplish some things. And so they sat down, they sent, made this little group. This was in 1775, at least as far as my memory goes, 1775. They had this little group, and they put together this whole business plan for the Marines. This is what they're going to be responsible for. This is their purpose. This is what they're going to do. This is what we're going to provide them with, the weapons or the food or whatever. These are going to be their blessings, their provisions. This is what we're going to do. This is what they're going to do. This is our purpose. They came up all with that long before there was anybody in the Marines. It was a business plan. It's just like the Uber driver. It's just like creator of the cooking show. It's just like God in eternity. He came up with this business plan. And they put down all the provisions it would have, what they would need, and put them all in there. And then, I'm going to say months, but I think this pastor said years, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. Sometime after that went on, there's nobody in the Marines. It's just on paper. It's a business plan. It's stored away in a drawer in a vault somewhere in Capitol, wherever the Capitol was at this time. A few months later, maybe a few years, I don't remember what he said, but there was an attack on the territory, some kind of aggression. And it said, we need the Marines. Get that business plan out of the drawer now that they came up with months, I don't know, maybe years before. Get that business plan out of the drawer, and we need to start implementing it. Now, that business plan, the people who came up with that business plan, when they put that together and this chosen vehicle of service, the Marines, they didn't decide who would and wouldn't be in the Marines. They didn't have a premonition for the next 250 years. Sally, John, and Joe will be in the... Well, probably they didn't let women in at that point. Let's say Ralph, John, and Tom will be in the Marines, and all these other people... It wasn't an individual selection. They didn't know who would be in or wouldn't be in. Just all who believed what the Marines said, what the government said about the Marines, and trusted in that, could apply, and they'd go in the Marines if they met the qualifications. That's what God's done in eternity past. He came up with the business plan. He chose the things he's going to use and not use. He chose what the blessings were. He chose the vehicle of service. He chose all that. He predetermined it all in eternity past. He didn't select what individuals would participate in it or be in the group. He selected what the group would be, what the vehicle, the vessel was. Election is not unto service. It's not unto salvation. Election, it doesn't have, we'll look at this when we get to verse 5, doesn't have anything to do with salvation. We're going to go through all the verses, at least I could find on election, doesn't ever have anything to do with salvation. It always has to do with what God's going to do with people after they're saved. And they are different purposes, different programs. For us, he's going to place us in the... He chose in eternity past. He's going to place us in Christ so we can fulfill his business plan for the heavenly realm. In time past, he chose those who believe in him to be put in the nation of Israel because they're going to fulfill his business plan for his glory on earth. Two different plans, two different programs. While there's an ultimate single purpose, we could say two different purposes are there as well. They didn't select individual people that they would say could be in and for over the next hundreds of years that the Marines was in service. They just selected the group and all who met the qualifications, all who believed what the government said about the Marines could participate, would be placed in the Marines. And they'd be equipped with all the provisions the Marines has to give. And they'd be participating in the purpose of the Marines and the program of the Marines and so on and so forth. Well, that, hopefully between these three illustrations, maybe there's a fourth when I revealed what me and Cindy talk about when we wake up in the morning. So four illustrations, and hopefully that sheds a little light. What he's talking about here is the simplest, most commonplace, everyday thing that all of us do the minute we wake up in the morning. It's what God did, of course, in eternity past, but it's the same kind of concept idea. God devised a plan in eternity past, whereby he would restore He would restore the whole creation to his glory. That's Ephesians 1:10. We just read that. Unto his glory, under the headship of Christ in love. Notice, we're just going to close out this verse. Notice the last two words here in verse 4. In love. In order for it to be in love, it can't be Calvinistic. To be in love requires free will. Absolutely requires. You can't force someone to love you. As soon as you force someone to love you, what do you know they're doing when they pretend to love you? They pretend, right? They put a little happy smile on and they can just get you off their back. And you can't force someone to love you. It has to be free will. And while the vehicle is chosen, God's chosen vessel of service today is not the nation of Israel, it's the body of Christ. And all those who believe in the dispensation of grace are recruited, I guess you could say, if we want to go back to the Marine thing, and placed in, when they believe, were placed into the body of Christ. And in Christ, were chosen to a whole bunch of things. He predetermined what the blessings would be. He predetermined what our position, what we were going to be doing, where we'd be active, what part of his business plan we'd be doing. He predetermined and chose all that. He didn't predetermine and choose individuals, whether they'll be saved or not. He predetermined that all those that get saved in the dispensation of grace will be placed in Christ. And there, they're going to participate in his mystery program to reestablish his glory in the heavenlies through the body of Christ, as members of the body of Christ. Love requires free will. And now we think we know better than God. So we want to tell God how to run his universe. Well, he's running it this way. And I'm going to put my bets on God. He's got a better way of running this than Calvin. And when you come here, love requires free will of fallible humans, fallible creatures. Some will freely receive the love of God and love in return, God's own people. Some making them God's own people through faith. Some will freely reject it, declaring themselves rebellious enemies of God. And that's what free choice is. It's not that God chose them. It's that they chose to not participate in his chosen. Here's the good news. We can choose to be a chosen one. We can choose to be a member of his body through faith. And of course, this rejection is what led to the fall of the created realm, the heavenly and the earthly realm. I should have had an E here. You put an E in your notes. I hate to end a message on something like that. But the E that should be here is that that's how God's going to restore the heavenly and earthly realm. Through free will creatures choosing through their free will to believe in God and his word. And he puts them either in his chosen vessel, Israel, in time past and time future, I guess, if we want to look out that way. But today, he's placing us in the body of Christ. And that's the best I can do on being this whole chosen concept. I get so many emails about this and the confusion. I think I tried to relay here. It's the simplest, most everyday practical. It's what you do when you wake up in the morning is just you're in time. God did the same thing in eternity past. Now, I'm not saying he woke up in the morning, but in eternity past, he came up with this business plan, and he chose and elected and selected all the way that's going to operate, and he's making us now participants of that program.